this kind of sense because it is sensible to them. To the Holy Spirit, it makes no sense at all.
To the ego, it is kind and right and good to point out errors and correct them. This makes perfect sense to the ego, which is unaware of what errors are and what correction is. Errors are of the ego, and correction of errors lies in the relinquishment of the ego.
Okay, I just want to make a note here. I was talking to Masako just a moment ago about the different levels of teaching of A Course in Miracles. And that sentence she just read, errors are of the ego. You will see as what behind that particular sentence, on the surface, is pretty obvious, right? But there's another way to understand that sentence, and that is, where is it that no errors can be made? What kind of thinking that no errors can be made? And we learn with A Course in Miracles that there's will versus wish. There's another teaching that we would talk about another time. Wish is maybe yes, maybe it won't. Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Will means it's done the moment I thought of it. It's just going to watch it unfold. No errors can happen with will. And we would waken to the will of God, which is just the will of truth, where no errors can be made. Please continue.
When you correct a brother, you are telling him that he is wrong. He may be making no sense at the time, and it is certain that if he is speaking from the ego, he will not be making sense. But your task is still to tell him he is right. You do not tell him this verbally if he is speaking foolishly. He needs correction at another level, because his error is at another level.
Okay, and so here we are. We're pointing at different levels of being. Material versus spiritual. Small-minded versus right-minded. Wrong-minded versus right-minded. These are levels we can operate at. And as we are asleep and in separation, we focus on the wrong level as being the true one. Maybe even the only one. And so, beautifully, when your brother is behaving in a way that rubs you the wrong way, you now have these few words. You have a way to translate that, a way to understand it, and something to do about it. And please note that it was not something you do verbally and to your brother. Please continue.
He's still right because he is a son of God. His ego is always wrong, no matter what it says or does.
If you point out the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seen through yours, because the Holy Spirit does not perceive his errors. This must be true, since there is no communication between the ego and the Holy Spirit. The ego makes no sense, and the Holy Spirit does not attempt to understand anything that arises from it. Since he does not understand it, he does not judge it, knowing that nothing the ego makes sense, makes means anything.
And then, can everybody hear okay? Everybody has a book? We do have a microphone we could be passing around as we each read. Not needed? Everybody can hear okay?
When you react at all to errors, you are not listening to the Holy Spirit. He has merely disregarded them, and if you attend to them, you are not hearing him. If you do not hear him, you are listening to your ego and making as little sense as the brother whose errors you perceive. This cannot be correction, yet it is more than merely a lack of correction for him. It is the giving up of correction in yourself.
It's the giving up of correction in yourself. So you're actually putting a block to the awareness of truth by correcting your brother. By going outside of your own mind and changing something outside, you're slipping into duality. You're slipping into victimhood. Where there is a power outside you, that is a problem. Let's continue.
When a brother behaves insanely, you can heal him only by perceiving the sanity in him. If you perceive his errors and accept them, you are accepting yours. If you want to give yours hope to his spirit, you must do this with his.
Okay. You know how many times on Thursday night we talk about the circle? Do you see the circle that's outlined in these first two sentences? When a brother, now it's a circle of insanity, right? When a brother behaves insanely, you can heal him only by perceiving the sanity in him. If you perceive his errors and accept his errors, you are accepting your errors. Please continue.
Unless this becomes the one way in which you handle all errors, you cannot understand how all errors are undone. How is this difference different from telling you that what you teach, you learn? Your brother is as right as you are. And if you think he is wrong and are condemning yourself, you are condemning yourself.
This is another place, sentence number 5. Where he's touching on another teaching. He's weaving in another level of teaching, another piece of teaching that Jesus does in the Course of Miracles in this paragraph. How is this different than saying, as you teach, you learn? So important to understand what you are. What and how will you experience the Holy Spirit as you teach, you learn. One Thursday night, this came out, and it was the fountain. You remember that the experience of understanding, the experience of the truth, comes through you, like a fountain whose water comes up out of the fountain and falls back on the fountain. The more the fountain pumps water, the more water falls on the fountain. As you teach, you learn. There really is no other teacher. Your mind, your consciousness, your true consciousness is an extension of the consciousness. And you are taking in what you teach. This is what becomes real for you. So I say, seek no further than your own mind. That is where your life is. Same with when you address your brother. Same with what you see in your brother. You're looking in a mirror and seeing an image to which you are giving meaning. Let's continue.
You cannot correct yourself. Is it possible then for you to correct another? Yet you can see him truly, because it is possible for you to see yourself truly.
Okay. Now, the you that we're talking about here is not capitalized. You say, well, if you can't correct yourself, why are you even reading the book? Where is this going to go? But of course, it is the you who came to this meeting, took your body and said, I will step back and let the truth lead the way. I will have my body today on Sunday serve my mind. I would use my body and my brain, same one that would read the book, to allow the truth to be revealed. And I will become that. That's the you that's talking to. You who needs correction, do not do the correcting. But you can receive correction. Isn't that a wonderful gift? It's true. Let's continue.
It is not up to you to change your brother, but merely to accept him as he is. His errors do not come from the truth that is in him, and only this truth is yours. His errors cannot change this, and can have no effect at all on the truth in you. To perceive errors in anyone, and to react to them as if they were real, is to make them real to you. You will not escape paying the price for this. Not because you are being punished for it, but because you are following the wrong guide and will therefore lose your way.
You're going to lose your way! This is Course in Miracles that I love. Hey, this is going to cost you dearly. You follow up on the errors of your brother, and you decide they're real and they hurt, and he needs to be changed, or you can't go on. You've just made a prison cell for you. He says, you're going to pay the price for this.
I think to simplify it, it's like if you see something, if you start correcting someone, what, in a sense, you're saying to that person is there's something wrong. If you can say that there's something wrong with somebody else, yes, then you will do that with yourself.
Yes. And you will believe it's justifiable that somebody other than you could say it about you.
Right.
Could call you out, and you'd have to listen.
You'd have to, yeah.
Yeah. You're proving wrong is real. Not any particular wrong, okay, that's just today, but you're proving the idea of wrong,
yeah,
or separation, or guilt, or fear, whatever flavor comes out, is actually real.
Yeah.
Very good one. That's it. That's the price. That's the sting. The double-edged sword.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Yes.
It's like you're stepping into the movie.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you often bring up movies, like as a, you know, you're watching it on the screen, kind of. That's what I'm trying to.
Yes.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
Yes. And it's your life.
Yeah.
It's a lot to wrap your head around.
Yeah. That's what I'm feeling.
That's great.
Okay.
It's a great analogy. Yes.
I keep going back to A Course in Miracles. Oh, no.
That's good. That's good.
That's good. That's good. That's really good. I'm glad I'm here. But I keep going back to nonviolent communication.
Yes.
Marshall Rosenberg, he really talked about this being the beauty of the need, and it opens it up to this. I just keep hearing this in this.
Yes.
The way that you can, yes, be so present for someone that the beauty of the need becomes universal. And I would think he really had something because you watch the way he worked with people.
Listen, it's as simple. The nonviolent communication, when you jump in, and I just some study on this. This is a way, exactly, that you can give, exactly, by receiving. Am I right? Can you, instead of trying to give to get, you can give by receiving what the other person is trying to say. This is a holy relationship. We talked about in chapter 17. Absolutely. Let's continue.
Your brother's errors are not of him any more than yours are of you. Accept his errors as real, and you have attacked yourself. If you would find your way and keep it, see only truth beside you, for you walk together. The Holy Spirit in you forgives all things in you and in your brother. His errors are forgiven with yours. Atonement is no more separate than love. Atonement cannot be separate because it comes from love. Any attempt you make to correct a brother means that you believe correction by you is possible, and this can only be the arrogance of the ego. Correction is of God, who does not know of arrogance.
This is so important. It seems so obvious. We'll touch on it again a little later. It talks about, you know, an ego alien journey with it. You know, the ego is the guide. The blind leading the blind. The way that's been said. And you are certainly moving along, but neither of you knows where you're going. And yet one is following the other. It looks, one of you seems like they know where they're going, because I'm following him. Yes, the priest though. Yeah. You, as this section says, and as we've learned elsewhere in the book, you cannot be your guide to miracles, comma, for it's you who made them necessary. It's good news and the bad news. All right, good. Okay, now let's go back to the piece of paper and close the book. Who's up read next? Read. Read verse number two.
Number two. The Christ in him is perfect. Let there be no dreams about him that you would prefer to seeing this. And you will see the Christ in him because you let him come to you. And when he appeared to you, and when he has appeared to you, you'll be certain you are like him, for he is the changeless in your brother and in you.
Whoa. So that's almost 500 pages later in the book. And I put those juxtaposed so you could see that the bomb was dropped in chapter, what, 4 or 5 or so. And then a lot of teaching occurs, a lot of helping you understand that somewhere in your interaction with this SOB who's wrong every time in his ego, same thing, we'll be able to give you a glimpse of the Christ in you. Wow, how is that even possible? Now let's keep looking into this. So it says, you know, the Christ in him is perfect. Now here's your part. You need, this is where you would need to have a miracle somewhere along the way to be able to not focus on the problems in your brother and the differences in your brother. To have a chance to see the sameness, we got to get beyond what the eyes see.
Welcome to a spiritual meeting now. Because look, either there is something else there, or you're in trouble, and your brother's in trouble, and the rest of your life will just continue to be trouble. With, I told you earlier, a punctuation that the world always delivers. Death. And that'll be it. So welcome to a spiritual meeting, where there's something beyond what appears to be a full story. There's more. Beyond. Where's Kim? She's a...
What?
Yeah. Read for us Miracle Principle 17. She's like the fastest person to find the miracle principle.
I am?
Oh, yes.
Jeez, well, you should,
on, babe.
You should have warned me and I would have been ready.
17? Yeah, 3:17.
Miracles?
Hold on.
Pretty good.
This is where I say to you that in the beginning of the book, it talks about this very, very difficult subject that we're talking about today, for which we have to gather under an intensive premise to be able to get this soak into your mind. The book starts with it, and the book finishes with it, and it's sprinkled throughout between. Listen to this miracle principle. It's short, so don't miss it. Kim.
17, miracles transcend the body. They are sudden shifts into visibility away from the bodily level. That is why they heal.
And she said invisibility. Miracles are sudden shifts into invisibility. That's why they heal. I woke up this morning. I thought, oh my God, all this preparation I did, and I didn't even think of putting Miracle Principle 17 in here. And that was the gift to me this morning. That Miracle Principle does summarize the effect and the job of A Course in Miracles. You see, the truth is invisible. What you see with your body's eyes serves as a block to the truth of what your brother actually is and of what you are, by that same principle that what you see, you get. Miracle Principle 17, right in front of the book, page 3. Keep that in mind as we go along. You will see evidence of that. Okay, so next we'll go to Donna. Would you read number 3 for us?
Number 3. On the first page, number 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let's try the microphone. Julie, if you can, to Donna. And then anybody who wants to or we ask to use the microphone, you might be a soft talker, so just beware. But you need to put it right in front of your mouth. You gotta eat an ice cream cone, gotta go right down the middle.
Thanks. When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you, in remembrance of you.
You can continue, please. Read the whole thing.
The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself. There is nothing else to seek.
Wow. Hello, you just got a Jesus weighing in on what the book is about. So, Donna, would you read that first sentence again?
The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself. There is nothing else to seek. Everyone is looking for himself and for the power and glory he thinks he has lost. Whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them. Your power and glory are in him because they are yours. The ego tries to find them in yourself alone because it does not know where to look. The Holy Spirit teaches you that if you look only at yourself, you cannot find yourself because that is not what you are.
Okay, dead end, right? Seek and do not find.
Beautiful.
It's a decade's worth of seeking.
Yes. Yes. You're sure nice to have read that a little earlier. Yes.
Whenever you are with a brother, you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are. He will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. He will be imprisoned or released according to your decision, and so will you. Never forget your responsibility to him because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him his place in the kingdom and you will have yours.
Beautifully read. Thank you. Whoa. That's page 142 in the text. I highly recommend you get out your book and make a mark there. So in these couple sentences here, he says, whenever you are with a brother, you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are. He, your brother, will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. Watch the words carefully here. Watch while Course in Miracles is teaching here. Your ego will tell you, well, then my brother is a measure of how holy I am. Unless I evoke peace, I am a sinner. Watch it. It's not what that sentence is saying. Your brother's journey is your brother's journey. You're not privy to that. It's another branch on the tree that goes back to a single stalk. All of us go back to one source. It is not your responsibility to make your brother happy. It is not the smile on your brother's face that we're talking about. Your brother's face is on the front of their body. And how many times have we learned, I'm not a body? So do not look for your brother's body as the communication and the meaning of this sentence. Get behind this sentence now. Get behind this why we're here today. Let me read it again. Whenever you're with a brother, you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are. He will respond either with pain or with joy. It's not the smile. He will respond in the same way that you look at that piece of shiny glass and you decide, is that me in the mirror? Let me wave and see if it waves back. That's how he will respond and you will witness. It's what you see and you think about your brother, not what your brother says or does or smiles. Your brother comes at you with the fist curled and says, I can't believe you told me that. That might mean, nobody's ever told me that and I needed to hear it my entire life. Thank you. I just can't come up with thank you right now. So this will have to do. U.S.O.B. I can't believe you said that. But I'm really appreciative and I will change my life based on what you just told me as a dear friend. I'm sure I'll recognize that soon. But for now, this will have to do. Get out of my house. This is a way your Holy Spirit can help you translate the world. And it must. If your goal is love, you will start to see love in the ugliest places. The ugliest places will be the only way that the love can be communicated. It's a call for love. Is still love. A call for love is directly related to love. This book says, fear is a call for love. This book says that all anger is based on fear. Therefore, if I can connect the dots here, anger directly to love connects. This is how you must see if you're going to return to joy. Everybody returns to joy. I'm saying the sooner the better. Maybe even in the body. Good. Whew, okay. All right, let's rock it to number 4. Chris?
Every brother you meet becomes a witness to God or the ego, depending on what you perceive in him. Everyone convinces you of what you want to perceive and of the reality of the kingdom you have chosen for your vigilance. Everything you perceive is a witness to the thought system you want to be true.
Okay. So here it is. Do you see the circle again? As you teach, you learn. And you are always teaching. You're always teaching. That word vigilance popped up right there. We love that word in A Course in Miracles. Be vigilant only for God and His kingdom is the third lesson from the Holy Spirit. Well, hey, you can also be vigilant for the ego and its misery.
Choose for which you will be vigilant. Let's continue.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking of my niece who's mentally ill and how angry she gets and how important it is to hold this truth, you know, that you can see the God in her with your boundaries intact, but it's always a challenge, and as soon as your ego gets involved, man, she snaps it up, you know, and there you are back in the steep.
Very good analogy. Yes, it is heightened with the mentally ill. It is heightened with those who are very, very angry, who are also mentally ill at that time.
And she's also amazingly creative and has that spark, of course.
Seeking joy all the while. Good, good.
Every brother has the power to release you if you choose to be free. You cannot accept false witness of him unless you have evoked false witness against him.
Nice.
If he speaks out not of Christ to you, you spoke not of Christ to him. You hear but your own voice. And if Christ speaks through you, you will hear him.
Perfect for your analogy. That is the circle of communication. You're going to hear what you are seeking. The ego's ready to talk you through anything. The Holy Spirit is ready to talk you through anything. The more we do Course in Miracles, and it may take a few miracles to shift your mind so you can hear the Holy Spirit, because the ego is so practiced at coaching you through your life, it's already got a preloaded opinion on how to handle things. But do the lessons, do the workbook, do it throughout the day, and you'll start to hear what A Course in Miracles means by the Holy Spirit. And so when you have a difficult situation where it looks like there's no way to be peaceful in this situation, You will remember your lesson. I think about 155. I will step back and let him lead the way. You say, you know what I'm doing right now with this SOB who is really making my life hard? I'm going to step back and let the Holy Spirit lead the way. I don't know. You get the courage to do that. You're making a crack in the wall, in the block, and your heart will start to open. And you will find compassion growing and moving through you. But you have to be willing to step back and shift your mind away from the habits that you've been working with. Yes. Good, good.
Isn't that beautiful? That's called the inheritance of God's Son. I put the word mirror there, as we discussed earlier. We'll see that again. All right, here's kind of a fun one. Brother John?
Yeah. ACIM, on what your brother thinks. Should have been a DJ. Like you, your brother thinks he is a dream. Share not in his illusion of himself, for your identity depends on his reality. Okay. Forgive the sins your brother thinks he has committed and all the guilt you think you see in him. Your brother thinks he made the wrong, excuse me, your brother thinks he made the world with you. Thus he denies creation. With you, he thinks the world he made him. Thus he denies he made it. Your brother thinks he holds the hand of death. Leave him not, but learn instead how blessed are you who can release him.
Wow. Got that article?
Yeah. And that's just a smattering throughout the book of this idea. So you just to look at number 5 for a moment. We'll talk about it a little bit. So, and you can turn the microphone off now for a moment. So what this is saying is tool. This is the reflection. This is again is the power of the mirror. If you want to see if your lipstick is on straight today, the best way is walk up to the shiny piece of glass and take a look. Of Course in Miracles knows that it's far easier for you to go look at your brother and have you witness what you think about your brother in order to have you understand what you truly think about yourself. In other words, what limits have been placed on your reality. It's easier for you to look at her and see what limits you've placed on her so that you can know the limits that you actually believe are true for you. Is it required? Well, no, you know. If you were more, you know, spiritually awake, you can be your own witness, of course. If you're more spirit, and you will be, and some of you are. But for most of us, it's a bit of a stretch, or sometimes we forget too much to be self-aware. Instead, we're only looking at self. All we see is a small s self. There is no larger perspective. However, looking on our brother, looking on our children, looking on our pets, we say, no, that's an example of love out there. Pets are great for this. We have unconditional love for our pets. Somehow we will afford this limitless. They don't even need forgiveness. It's a pet. It's a dog. It's a thing too. And I love them. So cute. No problem forever. No problem forever. But for ourselves, there's conditions. You should have tried harder, Pam. You know if you did try harder, you would have got more out of it and you would have had more to share. Come on. And that other person really should have tried harder. They weren't really doing their job. They're responsible, or they should have cared more, or after what I did for them last year, and they aren't doing this for me this year. They're the problem. It's so easy to find this fault. So now it turns out that the same place you've been finding the fault, with guidance of Course in Miracles, a little bit of a guide, right? The more you take, the more you get. Course in Miracles is that guide. We can show you the very place you found the ugliness, the very place you found the fault. You can now see with your Christ vision, with your right mind instead of your wrong mind, what lesson is in the ugliness that will show you the freedom from the ugliness.
Okay.
Love that. Yeah, Jeff.
I was just going to say, I just love that because we have so many opportunities to do it. It's like, I mean, this is just a really nice little like thing put in your pocket, because all day long you're just going to be reminded to be aware, be self-aware, and step up.
Yes. Step up is a perfect phrase. It's always in my mind. Is that the quickest way to go up is to have a staircase and the one step is laid out after the other. Your whole day, there are these steps waiting to take. You could stay on one step the whole day or go down a few steps even and not make progress. Often we do.
you know, we start to wake up and start to see what you just said. Why wait for joy? Why delay joy? Why delay the higher perspective of taking 3 or 4 steps today? It'll be 3 steps higher for tomorrow. How many years is it taking you to take the last major step? Sometimes. Beautiful, Jeff. Let's not delay. Let's find out what it looks like to take the step and take it. That's why we're here today. Good, good, good. Okay, so nice examples, huh? Like you, he says, your brother thinks he is a dream. That's just an easier way to say it. You are dreaming, Marcia. You're freaking dreaming it all up. You are smoking your own dope. You think this is true.
And not sharing.
Yeah, right. If somebody did bring dessert, nobody bought the dope. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
That's a nice way of saying that you are dreaming. That's a gentle way to break it to you, that none of this is real. You don't have to be sweating like this was so important. This world. Your life.
But we have the same democracy.
But.
Yeah, it's working perfectly.
Who?
Sorry.
Forgive the sins your brother thinks he has committed. You're going to forgive the sins your brother thinks he has committed. The other place we run across this in A Course in Miracles, and it's the same discussion, it's just applied in a different vector, is physical healing. When somebody's sick on their cancer bed, or they got the broken whatever, their sickness, and they're worried, or they're just sick. Physically. It's another step, like Jeff pointed out, another chance for you to be able to see it differently. To see that they are not sick, their body is sick. So we would not uphold the idea of sickness, which is harm, which is loss, in our own mind. When you walk up to somebody who's physically challenged, and in your own mind, they're a beautiful example of life, even though they can't move. Or they've got a problem. You are communicating way beyond words, and it's not with your words. The subtleties of your peace and your confidence in what they truly are is coming through. Well, we can go on stories and stories, but I've lived through this one by personally myself. And Wendy's lived through this. She, if I can speak for you, she spent a year or two caring for seriously disabled people. And you know, really far along MS patients. And some of them couldn't speak. They had to use a pencil to maneuver something to type on the screen. Oh, my God. And it was very hard on her. Wendy just came to be helpful and love, but it was pretty depressing. But they brought smiles to her face, because they didn't see the same problem she saw. She was very healthy and beautiful. You know Wendy, big smile. Comes in and lights up a whole room. And here's a person who's quite disabled and never going to smile. They can't smile. And yet they type with their pencil. It's good to see you. I'm so happy you're here. And she got it.
Yeah, my best friend, she was maid of honor at my wedding when I was an earlier one. She died of MS, and I went and saw her just about a week before she died, and she could not move anything, and but her face was so childlike and relaxed and peaceful and joyful, and she looked younger than she had looked in years, and it was remarkable. To see her that way. And then she died about a week later.
Yeah. I've had a couple of 2 MS patients, very serious along, and talked to me, and they said that they wouldn't want to admit it necessarily, they won't get it, but the MS has brought them a simplicity of life that they've yearned for.
Mm. Oh.
and they couldn't, don't like how complex life would be otherwise.
I would think that anybody that comes to grips with whatever disease that they are suffering from and have come to a place of acceptance would have that same response. Because it brings out,
I mean, there's some reason why that's come.
Yeah.
Right. So can we all agree to no longer have in our head that this is a sickness that should not be there?
Sometimes.
Clear your head. Because, believe me, you're counseling yourself. You're not really doing much for them. I don't know, maybe. But you're really talking to yourself. You are teaching yourself about your own disabilities. The limits on you is what you are teaching yourself as you look at your brother who you would call sick. So let's now, forevermore, from the gate, from the start, anytime you see somebody with a limit, do not share your ideas or their ideas. If they have ideas of limit they're discussing, let you not share that.
Otherwise you're making limitations real to you.
Yes. You're actually idolizing them. And, as it gets worse, and you know it gets worse, because they're showing this sickness to you, you might have some, quote, compassion with a very small C and tell them, oh, this must be horrible. I'm so sorry you are sick. That's compassionate, isn't it? Supposed to be.
Joining in the misery. Commiserating in misery.
Commiserating. And now you are teaching yourself and the other about sickness. And it's sick.
What do you say? What do you say?
Well, you get present in that moment, and their disability is not the topic, their ability is. Let's go to the Scrabble game. Let's go to what's up for lunch. Let's go to right now, whatever is going on in that moment. The sickness is not something to be taught or to be learned from, except that it isn't truly real.
That's so you could tell them, I bet you've got a lot of time on your hands to write a little poetry. What do you got?
You could. You absolutely could. That's very present. And it's obvious, yes.
Well, I think, I volunteer with hospice, and I think it goes back to a little bit what you were saying just a minute ago, that it's, because I think the word presence is the key there, because then it doesn't really matter what you say. Because sometimes just truly sitting with somebody in their pain and being present with that, it's not making it more real, but it's just like you're sitting there in peace with them in their pain, and that presence, like, I think, drops both of you somewhere else. It puts both of you somewhere else. So it's not discounting that the pain's not there either, because that would be really rude. Like, oh, you're not hurting today, you're feeling fine, you know. So it's just, but it's not feeling the burden of the pain, holding the peace in that moment.
Yes, yes. The presence of the healer, Julie very well said, is that, like, I have a friend of mine who has Parkinson's. And it's come on pretty strong. You know, I'm in the same space here. I say, hey, Pete, how's it shaking today? It's literally shaking. You know, and I reckon other people come up, you know, and you kind of look the other way as this is happening. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm going right into the middle of it. I'm going to share with him. And so as a result, we've come very close since his Parkinson's has come on. And it's just that. I'm being present now with his shaking. And I'm freer. It's easier on me. I know it's easier on him too. The way he smiles and we chat and we have fun with it. With what's what is. It's not sick. It's not well. It's sick on a certain book. And then when I get my head on straight, this man is really well. As he is facing now
a need to be present himself.
Because the opposite part of that is it's really clear when you're uncomfortable around somebody's illness. Mm-hmm. And that's, so it really doesn't matter what you say if you're showing up present and just letting go of the fear or the anger or whatever. Because, yeah, people notice that. And I think it's that breaks down the barriers to love. Yes. It's just, yeah.
So at the very minimum, do not share the idea of sickness that your brother may have of himself, and that may be because he's obviously got Parkinson's. Don't let that be your focus. It doesn't help anybody. Okay, good. Your brother thinks he made the world with you. Thus, he denies creation. See, this is a very gentle way to say, you think you made the world. And you're denying creation by thinking this is it. That the world's real. No. It's Masako that did it. She Masako thinks that the world that she made the world and thereby she thinks the world's real. She's actually blocking the idea of God, and that there's actually a source of there's another reality that holds this deeply. That's her problem. It's easier to talk about her, isn't it?
Is this saying that you're talking about like a person? Speaking as though they know the truth? Is that kind of what you're...
Not necessarily.
What does this mean? I don't know.
What this is talking about is like the rhetorical brother, the rhetorical person who lives in the world and is
doing anything of the world, like getting an education and a job and not a spiritual seeker, never doesn't believe there's a God. This is maybe a stronger example. In the person you have trouble relating with, because they don't do any of this spiritual stuff. They say, you're a fool for not getting two jobs or a double your education and double your pay. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's easy to see this person, this track this person is on, is investing their identity in the world fully. And what Jesus is using this analogy for is, you're doing that, but by saying your brother's doing it, you seeing that your brother's doing it is a nice way for you to look in the mirror and understand this image you're painting about that other person is very much how you are.
So whatever opinion, judgment you have is your own creation.
Yeah. It's a way to look at so much of your thoughts that you've committed to. Now hopefully we're lifting out of that. We're not 100% material people anymore. You're not hanging on to Course in Miracles. This hasn't awoken the spark
and fanned it a bit. And this is, and so you definitely, all of us here have definitely moved to this, to the awakening. Yes?
I was just going to say, so compassion and sorrow don't go together.
Oh, that's correct. Very good, Jeff. Yeah, sorrow starts to eat away at true compassion because it shares in the misery and the loss.
So perfectly said. Thank you, brother. Very good.
But then there, you know, it's gauging your compassion and boundaries too, because I feel like as you were talking, I was thinking like different levels. Like if I see a scared dog, it's like I want you to know that there's nothing to be scared of. You don't have to want to bite everybody in the world. We don't all want to bite you. So it's like you want to just think peace, and that's going to, you'll bring that out. You calm down, it'll calm down.
Yes.
So that's kind of like what you're saying 101, I feel.
Yes.
You know? But yes. Then when you involve people that are ill, your friends with Parkinson's and so on, okay, that's a much more, that's a bigger, you know, it's like, okay, you've really got to sort of focus on how you want to handle this. At the same time, Parkinson's is, no one chose it necessarily physically, it just kind of happens. So then there's an element of innocence there that it's like, okay, mano a mano, sickness, compassion, you know, it's difficult. And so where do you set your boundaries with someone? Still not necessarily when it was their choice, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then you continue and maybe make it, you know, up the ante a little bit more, and maybe it's a political debate. Maybe it's someone with an addiction. Maybe it's something that's a little bit more like, come on now. You have a little bit of an, I expect something here. You chose this. And that's a whole different, you know, like, you know what I mean? There's an investment on the other hand, on the other side,
yes.
Not in the dog, maybe not necessarily in someone that's ill, you know. there's an innocence there, but then when you get to a point where there's perceived lack of innocence, there's a different level, you know, that's where I feel like boundaries need to be set sometimes or whatever. I don't know, maybe I'm going wrong.
Well, I think it's beautiful because you're touching on, especially with the word addiction, and I ran across this with people who were going into their addiction and go back into their addiction and tried to come talk to me, like we talked about, when they were not high.
Yeah.
And now they are. Right. Or they're deeper into the addiction. They're trusting their drug instead of trusting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I have to make that same distinction that you were just talking about.
Right.
And I know that it's their right mind that I had connected to. Thank God.
Uh-huh.
I met them when they were sober. And I said, you're in there. You're still there in my mind. Not in their face. To their face, they're more present when they're on the drug. And that's why they're doing it again, maybe. And I don't know. Not my deal. But I stuck with my alignment to what I know we share and not what our differences were. I did not try to have discussion with the drug.
Right. Yeah. So, which is that? Compassion? Or, you know what I mean? Like, are you acknowledging it then? Like, or is it, like we're saying, like, you keep the right mind. I mean, you can't, yes. Can you think a drunk person sober? No. You know, but.
Can you change the person?
No. So, you can't.
I kept my sobriety a thought.
Right.
And I knew that they were in there. They were covered over under a heavy veil. And I love it. You move your example out. It could be drugs. It could be politics. They went into their politics side, and I can't hear them anymore. All I can hear is their strong upsetness about that. And I don't let myself get drug into that. I remember them. And that's the same part of me that can join with them. Not with their sickness, their politic, their drug. That's right. And so this is understanding of what they really are. It's like with the paralysis patient. They don't dance and sing and they don't even smile and it's really hard. And Parkinson's patient too. No expression on the face.
Yeah.
You can't read them like you can read somebody else. But I've learned. Because I know Pete's in there and I can just hear him. And I no longer look for this, because sometimes his face looks like he's really mad, actually. But he's not mad. He's not. Right? So this has been my good exercise for me. And to be able to keep myself straight on what's really there. So that is a vigilance for my innocent brother who's always seeking joy. Even though they might be behind a big blanket of anger.
Right.
It's all about your head. It's all about your perspective.
Yeah.
And it will show up on your face. They will say, I'm so mad that you're not mad at all. And then their anger will have to subside because you're not feeding. You know that works.
I just want to say, one of my greatest teachers is my daughter. And you know, every mother loves their child no matter what they do. But I saw her when she was just a light. And as she has grown older, she's an addiction. But I can still see that light in her, and she can't see it. And I have to constantly remind her of her light.
Mm-hmm.
But she's no different than anybody else in their particular type of addiction, whether it's politics or
anger
or
self-pity,
whatever, depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my daughter is a reminder to me of that light. And when I get caught in with another person, she often, that I just can't get past because they're doing something that I just don't like or that rubs me the wrong way, she reminds me of that light. She reminds me of the light that we learn in the Course in Miracles. And
yes, and yeah. That she reminds you of the light that we get to see in Kim.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday nights.
And she reminds me of the light that I don't see in myself as well. Because I am much more critical of myself than I would ever be of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's because she's my daughter and I love her to the moon and back. But she, you know, when I don't see it in myself, I remember I would never condemn her for her the things that she does because of her addictions.
Yes.
So.
Oh my God, I'm sorry that you said that. Didn't she just advance the meeting a little bit with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want you to recall now, I want you to think of now what Kim just said is I would never condemn her because of her addictions and what she's so busy with doing. She knows what it is that's going for the addiction, not what's coming out of the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way Jesus sees you. This is the way God sees you. I would never condemn you for the choices that you've made.
That's not to say that I haven't had to keep her at arm's length
right.
from time to time. I've had to set boundaries.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the best thing for her and for you.
Yeah.
And believe me, that's where all of you are right now. You all are in a safe place with your little addiction. Yes, Ms. Alcohol?
Mm-hmm. I want to sort of tie this in with 2 weeks ago on Thursday when the word of the evening was peace. And so, you know, everybody had their turn in a circle giving their personal definition of what that is. And then something funny happened because at the end, when it came to you, you sort of quickly interjected, no one here said acceptance. And the moment that you said acceptance, boom, it's like something opened up in my mind and I realized, wow, here's another level. When they're talking about the goal of this course is peace. All right, so what that meant to me is that, so if we live in a world where there is nothing but love, then that inner peace, it's always about coming across in this world our limitations, which means our judgments, right? The need for forgiveness, being righteous, critical, and all that is there's an opportunity for me to go beyond that, to be accepted. And when I accept it, forgiveness, I become an invitation for that thing to come in, however it wants to show up, because my mind, I've already had that miracle. It's been transformed, where I could see even sorrow as this is love. But it's a sorrow, not like I'm defeated or I'm so depressed.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's about, hey, you know, we have this body and this. We have emotions,
yes.
And we have to give space to that. Otherwise, we're denying something that is so critical to our happiness and joy. It's always about the inner peace is always having that mindset to allow anything to come in and have that miracle transform whatever it is. Then, you know, fear like decreases.
There's a San Jose Sandy, the San Jose Course in Miracles person, and she said that she's been studying for a long time. She says, "Boy, these forgiveness opportunities, stinking things that pop up in my life constantly." She says, "These are like pop quizzes for a Course in Miracles. Can you forgive now?" Can you apply your learning pop quiz?
I love that.
Pop quiz and just use your name in a four-letter word.
So, I just really appreciate what Kim said because it's up for ourselves as well as for her daughter that she would never condemn. I would like to be in that place where I would never condemn myself for my own addictions because there's addiction to anger, there's addiction to this and that and the other. When you're self-critical, boy, that is self-parenting that I want to have more of. You know?
Yes, so who's going to forgive you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good, Chris. Mm-hmm. Now you came to the right meeting. Everybody, Karen is here. Hey, Karen. Do you have one of these?
No, we're
pregnant with
you. Will you pass this to Karen?
I'm looking for one.
Yeah, that should.
Yes, yes. We have extras. You want one? Here you go. Everybody have one? Julie has a stack.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. We're here now to find a higher authority that can do this, that you can turn yourself over to, a consciousness that's actually in you, that has the authority to forgive. Good. Excellent. Love that comment. Okay, let's rock it. Who's up next? We're on number 6. And by the way, we made it. We have now covered enough of the topic to make it, just in case, right, to make it worth our whole freaking meeting. Thank you, everybody. Advance the discussion right to the heart of it. The rest is just for fun. Wait till you see what we got. Let's go.
But there's
more. But problem and the answer. Way to heal, everybody. Way to heal. Do not accept your brother's variable perception of himself or his spirit mind is yours.
Try.
What? His split mind.
Try the microphone.
He's very optimistic.
Give him the mic.
The mic's behind you, Wendy.
You gotta turn it on probably.
It's gonna sound like Friday afternoon.
Well, here comes the money.
Do not accept your brother's variable perception of himself, for his split mind is yours. And you will not accept your healing without his, for you share the real world as you share heaven, and his healing is yours. To love yourself is to heal yourself. You cannot perceive part of you as sick and achieve your goal. Brother, we heal together as we live together and love together.
And then read for us that quote from the Bible.
So from the Bible it says, you hypocrite.
Oh wait, let's read this.
What? So Matthew? Right. What?
Yeah, start over. It's from the Bible, so go ahead.
Is that where you want to go?
Read it again.
Matthew 7:3, Bible.
Yeah, now it sounds like God. Go ahead.
You hypocrite.
Read it. Put that in your mouth.
You hypocrite. This is God speaking, you hypocrite. First remove the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye.
That's from the Bible.
Oh my God.
He's saying, look.
Oh my gosh.
He's saying, wake up. Who are you? You are condemning your brother. What about you?
There's a lock in your eye.
Yes. Yes. This is a way to heal. So that's the same. That's the essence. It's not in your... If you rehearse in your mind what you see in your brother, you are teaching your reality to you. It's actually coming from you now, the problem. Like with Pete, you know, with the Parkinson's. Of course, I could say, wow, this is really tough. Tell me about it. Have you seen any new doctors? Have you tried another doctor? How many times I say that? Well, you should try different doctors. And they will, oh man. Has he got an answer for that? It's his life we're talking about. He's not other doctors.
So I'm a little bit confused.
Yes.
Probably more than that. But so is what this is saying is basically you love your brother and then you'll love yourself, or because that's a mirror, that if you love your brother, you'll love yourself?
Well, don't love your brother's stinking thinking and stinking behavior, because that's what you're going to be loving in yourself.
I think it's love yourself and you love your brother, isn't it?
Yep. Well, that's why I'm confused, because
find out if there's something in yourself lovable and give it to your brother.
You don't even, it just extends. You don't even have to give it consciously.
It's invisible.
It's invisible. It comes from you and you see everything differently.
Yes, you see it differently. Good. That's more of that's coming.
Perfect. Okay. Do we need a fire break or something?
Well.